Now, as we're done breaking that down, Tammy, we want to, as you're our guest, as we always do here on the Cyber Coffee Hour, we want to learn more about our guests. We want to learn more about you, the person, your journey, what got you started in cyber, maybe some influences. So maybe you could start there, like what were some of your early, like I said, maybe early motivations, influences that got you into cybersecurity?
Okay, so I have a whole, like, and thank you, Dr. Joe, Joseph, I appreciate it. No, this has been a great conversation. I already got ideas right now. It's like, damn, I got some research to do. I have a whole talk that I did last year on, like, I didn't choose cyber chose me. Huge Jay-Z fan. I don't know if y'all picked up on that.
I understood that reference.
Yes. I am a Jay-Z fan. Jay-Z fan. Okay. And so I was like, I thought about it because, like, I literally just applied for a position and I wasn't thinking about that position at all. I was applying to several positions. I was like, okay. I threw the whole pot of spaghetti at the wall. And, you know, like, that was the thing that stuck. And so I've talked about this a lot, and a lot of people's like, Tim, you can't say that, you know, you just kind of randomly landed in cybersecurity. It's like, yes, the hell I can, because I feel like that's what I did. But I know that before then, my skill set that I brought with me is what helped me to continue to be successful in the industry. So beforehand, so history, like, y'all heard the bio, right? I have a bachelor's degree in accounting and never really worked in accounting. My background, I've worked for banks. I've worked for investment banks. Like, I've worked in, you know, like, my thing before I entered into cybersecurity was, like, anti-money laundering and sanctions and OFAC and, you know, enhanced due diligence, know your customer. I love that shit. I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. And it's like, you know, like, because of, like, for me, I was like, I feel like, you know, a lot of criminals are dumb, or a lot of people who does shady shit with money think that they're not being tracked. And it's like, you have no idea how much the government is tracking your money. Like, not just your data, but your money. The banks are doing it. They've already got, like, the different fintechs, Cash App or whatever. And so that's something I'm extremely passionate about. And so when I entered into cybersecurity, the first thing I did governance and risk. And I came in at a level where I could see, I was like, I was on the mountaintop and said, wow, this is cybersecurity. And oh, here are all of the huge major issues within this organization, specifically in cybersecurity. It's like, well, I'm about to learn a whole lot of stuff. And so for me, like, I was able to, like, I did governance and risk, and then I transitioned over to cyber threat intelligence. And I tell people, from my perspective, cyber and anti-money laundering are two sides of the same coin. Both of them are there. They're taking money from an organization, first of all. And secondly, they're there to protect the organization. And so all I really had to do was flip a switch, because I was, as an anti-money laundering specialist, I'm thinking about this now. I was actually kind of doing cyber shit. I was doing OSINT before I even knew that that's what I was doing. I was looking, because for anti-money laundering, you're looking at transaction monitoring. You gotta, like, okay, let's find out who the people are. Let's find out how many transactions they did. Where are they logging in from? Like I'm doing research. I'm trying to find these people online. And I was like, now I know. I'm like, oh, that was OSINT. Okay. It's like, that's a bit of intelligence. I see the transition. And so I started doing that on the cyber threat intelligence side, specifically with cyber fraud. And I was like, this feels like anti-money laundering, just from a, you know, a more technical skill set, right? Instead of me just looking at transactions, I'm looking at IP addresses. I'm looking at, you know, device IDs. I'm looking at, you know, multi-factor authentication and how they, like, you know, like password changes, those things. And from there, I had the opportunity to transition, like specifically into cyber fraud, and I married my skill set with anti-money laundering. So I was just like, oh, like, okay. So for me, cyber has been one, a new, dare I say, love, because I didn't recognize it's kind of like I never lost my love for anti-money laundering. Like, I just kind of pulled it in, like, how can I apply this to cybersecurity? And I've been able to do that beautifully, actually. And even now, like, you know, in my new position, I'm doing identity access management, which is a whole different level. Like for me, I'm like, okay, like, I'm seeing how I'm bringing in my background in governance and risk, and even, you know, like fraud or intelligence. I'm just like, oh, okay. So like, only these people get access, and here's the reason why, and here's like the reasons why least privilege access is important. And so I like the fact that I'm expanding my knowledge base while also bringing in everything else that I've learned so far. So that's just like my cyber background. So what are the questions you got for me?
Yeah, I have a few, but go ahead, Joseph.
No, just a quick follow-up, and Fraser, you can go. No, as you mentioned, and I think this is very good for the listeners, especially those when we're talking about people who are looking to get into cybersecurity or maybe transitioning from a different career field. I thought what you said was very profound when you said you're marrying your previous experience into, you didn't discard it, you brought it in, and you saw those similarities. How can I do this within cybersecurity? Like, so what advice would you give to someone who is in that situation where maybe they work 10 years in a different career field, and they may be doubting themselves, like, man, I don't know if this will translate into cybersecurity, or like, what do you say to someone that is looking to making that career move, that career change, and maybe they're not sure of like how that skill set can translate into cyber?
Okay, stop laughing, Al. I see you, because you know what I'm about to say. So this, I get this question a lot. Like, people ask, like, I want to transition to cybersecurity, what I do? And it's like, first I ask them, like, well, what do you know? What do you know about cyber? And most of the time, most people just know, like, well, I know that it's tech, and I know that it makes a lot of money. And I'm just like, you don't know anything. And I was like, and Google is right there. So the first thing I tell people is, like, do your research. I'm big on using, like, stuff that already exists. Like, that's already there, it's written out. I was like, I'm big on the NIST framework. I said, look up the NIST framework, go to the website, and then look at the different ways in which, like, look at what does a cybersecurity organization look like? And then, one of y'all know the website. There's another website that has basically any cybersecurity position. It tells you, like, the certifications you need, the education.
CyberSeek.
And I'm just like, and it was like, and do your research, because like, that's what I did. Like when I got my master's degree in project management, I did research. I looked, I said, all right, what degree can I get that will guarantee that within 2 years, because I know I get bored, that I can transition to any industry that has longevity? What is the long-term pay salary for it, right? Like, where can I, like, what can I do? And I landed on project management because I did the research. And so I always tell people to do the research first. Because cybersecurity isn't just, you know, like, most people think cybersecurity is red teaming. Like, that's what they think. It's like, okay. Like, that's like the number one thing, right? They're just like, oh, yeah. It's like, no, baby, no. Like, it's so broad. And not to mention, because, like, you know, the landscape is changing. And, like, you know, the Internet of Things and, like, technology. Cybersecurity has to evolve with these things. So there's so much potential. Like, the fact that I'm doing cybersecurity and I married anti-money laundering should tell people, hey, you could pretty much do anything. And so those are the biggest things that I tell them. It's like, do your research, whatever piques your interest, do it, like, go deeper into that. And then use LinkedIn to your advantage. Reach out to people that have the titles that you're looking for, that have that background, that's working in that position. Say, hey, absolutely, I'm looking to transition. Do you have time to talk or whatever? Like, or hell, study their track. Look at what education they got, what certification they got. Like, those are the best things that I tell people to do. Blueprint is there. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like the internet is right here. is right there. And I think that that is the best way for people to transition. Because I'm like, other than that, like, you know, there are a lot of companies that are, you know, they're taking away the, what is it, the requirement for college education. And it's like, cybersecurity has way too many open positions for them to be like, oh, we need this, like, purple unicorn. It's like, no, you don't. You need somebody that has, like, a good foundation that you, that's teachable. That's all you need. That's able to learn. Because, like we said before in the article, US ain't prepared for this shit. So you need to make sure you have enough people in the seats and teach them what they need to know. So yeah, that's what I tell people every time.
So I'm gonna double back and take it there because something you said kind of resonates with me too, and something that how we met, right? So I married what people would traditionally say is the blue team, right? So my career was all the way blue, right? All the way up until I got into this wonderful organization. And I said to myself, while going to school, what is cyber operations? Just that focus in cybersecurity. What is it? I was going to school for it. I didn't know from IT ops, DevOps, now ML ops, because we got to bring this transition on the blue side up to marrying that with the quote unquote red team that you mentioned. I didn't know that was possible until I wound up doing the research on your research and doubling back, going to school for it. So the requirement for me that gave me the advantage is I stay in school. I always stay in school. I always stay doing the research. But the other side of it is when you say to me as a technical person, there's a non-technical marrying to cybersecurity, I would have laughed 5 years ago, right? And then, and I'm not saying that as a jest. I'm saying marrying the purple unicorn that we have here. The purple unicorn is the purple team. Just going to say that for a quick second, right? This other side of it is, when you are not aware that there are more opportunities in governance, risk, and compliance, there's also governance, risk, and remediation, which we come back on the side of. There is no remediation plan. It's just like there wasn't a disaster recovery plan 10 or so years ago. Now there's no plan to remediate some of these findings in cybersecurity. And that's worth talking about, too, because now you said it, you hit the nail on the head. How do I get in this industry? I come with the mindset to remediate. I come with the mindset to research. I come with the mindset to do the due diligence and keep leveling up for the organization of practice, the university, the schools, the hospitals, wherever I am in the non-technical blue team, let's just say, I marry that to the need of continuing to remediate things in cybersecurity. And I had to learn that the hard way. Now, again, that doesn't always line up because your personal adversity or your aversion to schooling, which the industry is trying to say, I think you do need a degree, but more importantly, you should do a certification. You should do something that gets you aligned to those jobs in cyber so you can say, all right, this is my linchpin. This is my research on your research to basically jump into the industry, get into the industry and start doing the thing that is needed today. So I hear that. I hear that 100%. I didn't have to be on the red team to work in cybersecurity. I didn't have to be, a threat intelligence analyst, check the paper, right? I didn't have to be a DFR investigator. I just had to go in the mindset where we're remediating that stuff. I was fortunate to be in the right position at the right time. So that's another thing. Just because you're not in a cyber position, you could be, like you, Tammy, in an adjacent position, a position that could be lucrative and that could be not aware to how valuable it is to the organization. Pen testers, right. We all know that. Everybody wants to go there because it's the cool thing. But that doesn't mean stopping the pen tester is not cool. Simulating the event is even cooler, right? Like doing the threat intelligence might be even cooler. Or if there's no threat intelligence, positioning to be a part of that community of practice and build them a platform. If you're an IT person, or even if you're not an IT person, how do I do that? Do I train? Do I talk to my buddies on LinkedIn? Do I send out an invite? Do I keep it boring?
You do all of those things. You do absolutely all of the things. So two things. One, you chose violence when you said that the industry isn't interested in remediation. I was like, okay, you chose violence today. I'm just saying there aren't that many root cause analysis teams where it's kind of like they just want you to fix it. They don't want you to find the root cause. But I digress. Right.
That's part of the remediation.
And then secondly, like this is, I gotta go on my soapbox because earlier you said like, you know, technical, like being technical. And I'm always like, and I do this specifically, like I do it for everybody, but I always stand for my Black women in cybersecurity because there are certain ways in which there are people in the industry that gatekeep. And so I always will say, like, technical is not a state of being. It is a technical skill set that anybody can have. Right. I've been in meetings where I've heard people say, well, they're not technical enough. And it's like, that's not even a thing. So understand whoever's listening. Right. And so, like, for me, it's like, you are not, like, technical is not state, like, it is not a state of being. It is a skill set that you possess. So don't let anybody tell you that you're not technical enough, because that's not really a thing. So yeah, I had to stand on that.
No, I'm right there with you. I didn't want to come off like that. I could say there's no official state for that level up in technical. It's always there. It's always going to be there. It's a mindset. Of how do I get there and bring what I uniquely bring to the table in any organization, right? Adversity. I hate to say this too, because again, Tammy, you always bring it out of me. Adversity included. What do I have to overcome to get to cover and check all those boxes?
Thanks.
Right, and then that is my personal remediation that I offer to you in your organization. Right, like, so that bring it full circle, and that's how we met. So for our listeners, that's how we met. Tammy didn't know I existed. I didn't know Tammy existed. And just like Dr. Joseph and I, it's coming to a conclusion where we are here in this industry to share this knowledge right here. This is the coffee. This is what I like to build up, because I didn't know 5 years ago you're gonna tell me Tammy's role existed. Right. Same thing with me. She didn't know I didn't even know a red team existed. Right. You know, so I'm right there with you. It's all of that included in your journey into this field, into this industry, for sure.
Yeah. And so I did, if I have a chance, I did want to share, like, outside of cyber, because, like, you know, I experienced, like, I'll be straight up with y'all. Last year I experienced a layoff, and it was the first time in my entire career. And I had some time to reassess, like, you know, what is important to me, like, you know, what is it that I really want to do? And it's like, I'm gonna be straight up with you. I contemplated leaving cyber. I contemplated it. But the thing that kept me was that you cannot find, and I've done the research, you can't find anywhere, if you Google percentage of Black women in cybersecurity, you won't find anything. You'll find the percentage of Black people in cyber, which I think is what, 12% or 9%. You'll find a percentage of women in cyber that's like 25% or something like that. But you will not find a percentage of Black women. And all I kept thinking was, like, I got to be in cyber because somebody needs to see a Black woman like me in cybersecurity. That's the only way that we're going to change what that looks like. But I leaned in during this time. I leaned into other things that I enjoy. So Al knows that I'm a speaker, and I've been a speaker for years, but I never actually, like, did it on my own. It was always, like, in inside of an organization or for somebody else, but never for myself. And so I spent, like, a few months starting my own company, and I went and I spoke at different events and different, you know, summits. And it was probably one of the most fulfilling things that I've done today.
Nice.
What a lot of y'all don't know is my mother's a preacher. Mother's a preacher, and this is like, she's been a preacher now for like 15 years or so. My great grandmother, Jewel Johnson, God rest her soul, she was an evangelist as well. So this is kind of like a family thing. It's like, it seems like this is in my blood. And so, like, I know that using my voice, so, like, y'all asking me to be on a podcast, like, me, you know, speaking at different events and helping people, I know that that is a part of my purpose. And in cybersecurity, wherever I'm going, that's always going to be a part of who I am. And so beyond me being a cybersecurity professional and doing all those things you said in my bio, it's like, I'm a speaker. I'm also a coach, and I'm a mentor. I'm a mom.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm a mom. Like, I have a teenage daughter. Pray for me, please. And I'm also, like, you know, I got into the gym, and so now I lift, like, and I lift heavy. Like, my last PR was like 255 times on a trap bar. I did a 500-pound sled pull. So, like, we lift, like, lightweight. We lift heavy things. Like, I enjoy going to the gym, and, like, I'm also really big on mindfulness, right? Out of everything I learned last year, I think the main thing that, like, as a professional in the tech industry, and honestly as a Black person or Black woman, what tends to happen is that we pour everything into our work because we know nothing but excellence. We know nothing but doing the best and going above and beyond. But what I learned is that, and I'm reading a book, it's called The One Thing. You could, like, I can share it with you, put the bio, put it in a bio, but it's like, I learned that you can do more with less or do more by doing less. And so my new mantra is like, what is the one thing that I can do? What is the one thing that I can do that is going to allow everything else to be easier or to be eliminated altogether? And that's how I've been living my life today. What was the one thing I need to do? Talk to y'all. That was it. If I do this, I'm done. Everything else for the rest of the day is going to be fine. When it comes to work, right? What is the thing that's going to be the most impactful? Right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to, like, I recognize I don't have to do everything. A lot of times I feel like, or a lot of people in the industry feel like they have to be seen, right? You got to be seen because if they don't see you, you won't know. And so the biggest thing I want cyber professionals to take away is like, you got to take care of yourself. You have to put yourself first because cyber is 24/7. It's constantly going. There's always going to be a threat. There's always going to be something going on. It's always going to be escalation. Everything is always going to be on fire, but that doesn't have perfect segue. You know how people talk about being burned out?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They used to tell you, how do you measure it? That still resonates in my head. Well, look at me.
Cybersecurity. Cybersecurity professionals are some of, like, they're at the top of the list. Like, they're some of the most burnt out, and like we've been, and it's been going, like, it's been increasing over the years. It's like, don't feel like the reason why you get burned out is because you feel like you have to set yourself on fire.
Yeah, that's right. Good
for
that's
something to get done. And what I'm saying is, don't set yourself on fire.
Right.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. You can still be a consummate professional. You can be a top person in the industry. You can know your shit. You can do your job very well without doing everything and without burning yourself out. And so that is, like, along with everything else, that's like my biggest thing for us. Because again, like, what do you, like, if everything is always nonstop, right? We're not computers. We got to choose.
Not we yet. Are people. I'm joking,
no cyborgs yet.
Right.
No cyborgs yet. But yeah, like, it's important. Like, in an industry like ours, it's important for people to take care of themselves.
Right.
Because the industry will use you up. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, it has nothing to do with organizations. The industry as itself, like, this is constant. Things are going on all the time. And so for me, it's very important for me to be able to do all these things. And people will look at me and it's like, oh my gosh, he's so successful. It's like, I'll tell you right now, I'm doing less now than I ever did.
Keep it real boring. Let's go.
I'm doing less so I can do more and be more impactful. So those are, like, definitely some things that I want people in the industry or even thinking about getting into the industry to know. Like, not all of us are overworked. We don't have to be.
Right.
That makes sense. Because then it's
going to
be me.
So, and kind of leading on to that. So, when we're talking about just outside of cybersecurity, like, what are some, and I think you may have mentioned it already, but like, what are some of those things that you like to do to, you know, to get into that mental space, to decompress, to, like I said, to get away from work, get away from the keyboard? I know you mentioned, you know, going to the gym, lifting weights, but like, are there other things too, like movies or?
Yes.
Games,
yes.
Stuff like that.
So, I mean, I'm not a gamer, but I play games. like the games that, like, I'm like, yeah, my gaming habit has changed over the years. Like, I tend to like to do games that relax me. So I went back to Tetris, and I love Animal Crossing New Horizons, and I bought a PS5 just so I can play Hogwarts Legacy. But that's pretty much it. Like, I usually was like a game, like, I liked racing games, but it's like, no, I'm good. But no, like, I'm a writer. I have, like, there's a book that I read a few years ago that changed my life called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And she has a practice in there called Morning Pages. Anybody who knows me has heard me talk about this. And so Morning Pages is not a journal. What it is kind of like a brain dump. It's like an act of meditation. And it's in every morning, 3 pages, handwritten or typed. And I have been practicing this since 2018. And this is, it works wonders. Like, it is probably been one of the most impactful things that has changed my life. So that's something that I try and do every day. I also practice mindfulness and I meditate. I've been meditating now since 2017. that also helps me to maintain. Me to maintain because I do suffer from anxiety. Beyond that, I like to watch movies. I'm a huge Percy Jackson fan. the show on Disney, but I like to watch movies.
They got the new series out now.
I'm fangirling. But no, I love to read, and Audible is like this. So like right now, I think I'm reading maybe 5 different books. I told you about The One Thing.
Can you include that? Can you share that with us so we can share it in the show notes?
Hell yeah. I got you. One of my favorite books, like I love anything by Rick Riordan, so like the Percy Jackson series. One of my favorite books is Ender's Game. I love the Ender series. I didn't realize how much of like a sci-fi geek I am. I teeter on like self-help books and books like, you know, I read Atomic Habits. I've read I'm Not Yelling by Elizabeth Leiba. Like I'm big on leadership books as well. Like I mind like what is it? A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. Like that one I'm still sitting on that. So yeah, I'm an avid reader. I love books. I love learning. The people that know me is like, if I'm reading a new book, y'all gonna hear about it.
Why we gel, Tammy, to be honest.
That's kind of what I do. I'm looking at Artist Way right now on my bookshelf. Those are the things that I do right now. Because I recognize, like, you know, as I go throughout my life, you know, the things that I'm doing is changing and it evolves. And I kind of like that. It's like, I tell people, like, sometimes I'm in, like, a reading mode where I'm, like, I'm reading everything I can get my hands on. Other times I'm writing, right? I can't write enough. I gotta, like, you know, it's like, write articles, write stories or whatever. And other times I'm just, like, you know, I'm on my health kick where I'm, like, I gotta move my body a bit. So I cycle through those different things. And, of course, like, I spend time with my daughter. Like, she's a teenager, so, you know. Like, anybody who with a teenager understands, like, that's a toss up whether or not she wants to spend time with me. I think I embarrass her these days.
Depends on the day.
pretty much. But yeah, what I'm into. That's what I'm into. Oh, I mean anime, like, you know, Hunter, One Piece.
Drop those too. Yeah, drop those in the show. So you watch anime too? So do you read manga?
No.
Drop those. Drop what you're watching in the chat too, or in the show, so we put it in the show notes.
That's me.
That's what's up. Well, Tammy, we definitely appreciate you coming through to the Cyber Coffee Hour. Had a great time. Great time. Before we do close, I guess anything last thing you want to share before we wrap this up?
We forgot the coffee preference.
Oh, I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
Whoa. I gave up coffee during the pandemic, actually. Coffee and I also gave up alcohol. What I do drink, though, I drink matcha. So my favorite drink is a iced matcha with oat milk, and there's a place close to me called Lost Sock Roasters, and they do in the spring they do this like spring jasmine blossom syrup that like it's my shit. Or since it's in the winter, they do they have a London fog syrup, so it's like, you know, the same thing as like, you know, like regular English tea, so it's like a bergamot flavor syrup. That is my drink of choice. Like I have one every morning. They know me by name.
You know what, I may have to try that out.
It's
one of my favorite ones. Yeah, so that is my morning drink of choice.
Nice.
Wonderful. Again, Tammy, thank you again. We definitely appreciate you.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger. Definitely had to have you come through for future episodes, but had a great time. So everyone out, our listeners, this is a wrap to the Cyber Coffee Hour. So thank you for tuning in. So if you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on all our platforms. So you can find the Cyber Coffee Hour on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank Have you. A great day, everyone. Great time, night. I don't know, you know, depending on the time zone, where you're at, where you're listening now. But that's a wrap. And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
See ya.
Bye.